So most of my background's in history, actually. I was an undergraduate here way in the past, 2003 to 2006. I went straight on to a master's in the same department, took a little while out working elsewhere, and then came back to do a PhD, which was on early modern conceptions of the environment, early modern natural science, and the way that people interacted with the world around them in the 17th and 18th century. I then work for a little while, and still do, with IT services here, which is a bit of a jump, but I've come back to doing what I really enjoy, which is teaching, engaging with the students.
That's David Beck.
He's the Director of Student Experience and the Director of Undergraduate Studies for Global Sustainable Development here at the University of Warwick. He's also a teaching fellow and the module leader for the Certificate of Digital Literacy for first-year students.
What a Director of Undergraduate Studies does is takes responsibility for the curriculum, for the core modules, for checking the optional modules, fulfil certain criteria and kind of fit with the overall ethos of the course. That's the traditional role that I'm playing here. So that's working with the other academics to make sure those modules, those taught modules, fit. What the Director of Student Experience role does is looks beyond the curriculum. So the most concrete example I can give is the three certificates that we've got as part of the course already. In digital literacy, in communicating across cultures, and in leadership and coaching. Each of those are non-credit bearing, they're zero caps, they don't count towards your degree in that manner. But what they do is they give you essential skills, the things that we think are most important to prepare you for the world around you. And that's a kind of epitome of the role that I do. On a softer level, what I'll be doing is trying to connect with students and engage with students and make them more active in their own learning. The first experience of that will be the first time we have a staff student liaison committee meeting. We'll get all 40 to 60 students in the room and chat about what they want from the course, what we can do to help them get what they want from the course, and go from there, really. So it's my role as a whole is to take the student perspective, to work out what's important to the students we have in front of us, and to see how far we can go towards not delivering that, but giving them the opportunity to take that. It's very much about getting students to engage in their own learning.
Could you please tell us more about the different certificates?
The first one, in the first term of the first year, students will do a certificate in digital literacy. It will give students the opportunity to think about how they want to present themselves in a digital world. So it's about developing a sense of what you want your online identity to be and how to get that online identity. So it's about recognising that employers can search for you on Facebook and not necessarily seeing that as a bad thing, and engaging with it in a critical manner. There's no problem with you having pictures on Facebook, that's fine, but you need to think about the impression that you're giving across. That'll be taught by myself, it's worth saying, so that's one of the ways that I'm going to connect with students straight away, is get them to think about how they want to present themselves, which would be useful for me as well. The second certificate you'll do will be in the first term of the second year, and that will be a certificate of leadership and coaching, focusing on coaching primarily, taught by Bob Thompson over in the business school. So he's working with us to develop this certificate for each cohort, so he'll deliver it separately to Global Sustainable Development students and to Liberal Arts students, each of whom will probably be slightly different cohorts, so he wants to customise it for the cohort in front of him. And what Bob will do is get students to think about developing relationships as coaches, helping each other through difficult decisions, difficult problems in a non-judgmental manner. That's effectively what coaching involves. And it's seen as an incredibly important thing now. There was a recent article in the Harvard Business Review, which was talking about how coaching has become increasingly common at the very top levels of big companies now, because it gives leaders an opportunity to talk through and rationalise their decisions with somebody who is just going to reflect back. The final certificate is the Certificate for Communication Across Culture, or the Certificate of Sustainability, and I'll explain how that works in a second. Each of those, you get the choice of doing either or really, will be based around a work placement that you'll do towards the end of the second year. So after exams have finished, after all of the assessed work's in, but while you're still around on campus at the end of term or nearby, students will be encouraged to seek out and find a work placement opportunity. If they don't, we'll have some relationships we can use to develop those, but but the idea is that students will do something they enjoy, or they'll leverage their existing work placement experience, whether that's working at the Bread Oven or the Students' Union. All of those places of work can be seen either as cultures of work or as avenues for increasing sustainability. So one of my favourite things about the coffee shop that I got this coffee from is that all of the milk that's delivered to the cafes on campus comes from Atherston Farm just down the road, and there's a nice little plaque that says how far it's come from milking through to processing to where we are today. I think that's a really neat and cute example of sustainability on campus. I'd like to think our students will come up with another 40, and that's what the Certificate of Sustainability is. So if you want to view your workplace purely as a culture and interrogate it in that kind of ethnographic way, you can do that. If you want to take this as your first example of engaging with sustainability in the workplace and come up with recommendations, we'll give you some training. Our estates team have a very active sustainability agenda, and they'll come in and do some training for you, and then you can do that as the alternative.
Will there be any other opportunities to practice sustainability?
Certainly. So we're working with the estates not just on the Certificate of Sustainability, but also on a programme currently known as Green Steps, which is a broader internship that they do. They have a few days of face-to-face training that they deliver to students, and then they put them into a workplace somewhere on campus currently, although we're looking at opportunities elsewhere so we can support a larger cohort too, in which they do a bit of work, get a bit of experience of a workplace, and do a bit of research around how that environment could be produced in a more sustainable manner. So whether that's a case of finding a more socially sustainable environment in terms of CAFs and student recreation. So we often talk here when we're planning spaces about how to get students to talk to each other outside class in on a campus environment. And that's an aspect of social sustainability. What you're doing there is you're trying to work out how to use space, how to manipulate space to get students to circulate and talk in a more informal manner rather than just in the classroom environment. Or whether that's looking at how we can cut our energy usage by turning lights off properly at night. When I was first doing my PhD here, I worked late every week. I'd have at least one or two nights where I worked late. And I was amazed constantly that most of the lights were left on, not just in stairwells and halls, but in offices, people would just leave their lights on. That doesn't happen anymore because people kept pointing out the problem that it is not just financially, but also environmentally, and it's led to a culture change. Again, our students can do stuff like that.
Your main research area has always been history. Are there any reasons why you chose to start working with global sustainable development instead?
There's two reasons that I'm part of this degree. Firstly, the subject and its importance in the modern world. So the fact that the way we're approaching problems allows a holistic approach across the discipline. So while I was a historian, I also took a lot of inspiration from sociology and the way that they look at knowledge circulation in the past. And I drew one of the disciplines as a historian. And I think we need to show people the way of doing that in the modern world. I think that's an essential part of interrogating the world around us. And secondly, that the main reason I actually took this particular job is the way that Katia and Jan have built this degree around problems and around employability for students. And there's been an explicit expectation that what we're doing is teaching students to interact in the modern world, as opposed to training students to enter a particular discipline. I think that's a hangover from when a lot less people went to university, and it was seen as training you to be a historian. And I think most disciplinary degrees around the country still do that to a large degree just because of institutional inertia. Whereas what Katia and Jan have done is started afresh, really. And that's what excites me about this degree.
Leading on from that, why is having knowledge about how to live sustainably important to every person living in today's society?
I can answer that in two ways. I can give one answer, which is it'll benefit you economically. Most large companies now have corporate sustainability offices. There are an increasing number of startups which have a sustainability element or which interact in a way that has sustainability at its heart. It's a kind of important role that's being recognised increasingly. And the second one is the more intellectual and, for me, the more important thing, which is we need to make our world a more sustainable place. The way that most of us live nowadays isn't sustainable in the long run, whether you look at that socially, economically or environmentally. And I think training students who are going to go on to be the leaders of tomorrow to think about the world in a more holistic manner and to see the potential consequences of the things in which they involve themselves, even if they can't change all of those things, even if they have to go along with some of them, if they can recognise those consequences and engage in conversations about them, it'll make the world a better place in the long run.
The United Nations recently released their global goals. Is there a particular global goal that is personally important to you?
I don't think I could pick one, and that sounds a bit like a cop-out, but even when you look at the three overarching goals, which are ending extreme poverty and looking at inequality, and which are looking at the environment and ending climate change, or at least putting a stop to it in some way, again, looking at the world in an economic, a social and an environmental way, I don't think you can narrow it down to one goal. You can't end inequality without looking at poverty in some ways. These are all interconnected things. And most of what matters to me is interconnected as well. So if I'm trying to engage in the world, I tend to do so in a very local manner.
What do you expect a student to write in their personal statement?
Firstly, the personal statement that you write for UCAS won't be the one on which we'll primarily assess students. So they'll submit their UCAS application, prospective students, to us. We'll check that they meet the basic entry criteria and that the personal statement refers to the discipline which they're joining with Global Sustainable Development. And then we'll request a second personal statement, which is specifically about Global Sustainable Development. So the student will get an email asking them a couple of questions, and they'll get 2 weeks in which to respond to those questions. The reason we're doing that is that most of our prospective students will mainly be applying for a single discipline. So most of their applications will be to economics or to sociology or theatre studies or whatever, whichever discipline they're choosing. And we don't expect to see global sustainable development at the top of their UCAS personal statement, or indeed in it at all. So they won't be penalised for their first personal statement. It's the second one that really counts. And what we'd like to see from that statement is a sense of personal engagement with the topic, whether that is in terms of personal activity. So do you have charity involvements that show an engagement with sustainability in your local or international environment? Have you taken a gap year, or are you planning on taking a gap year doing something relevant to sustainability? Or it could be a purely intellectual involvement at this stage. It might be that you're primarily a historian in your mind, but you're really interested in poverty and how poverty has worked in different historical environments. And really, that's what we're looking for, is that link between a personal interest in some aspect of global sustainable development and the discipline that you want to study. So why does it make sense to study history alongside global sustainable development, or economics or business? Why? What's the link to you as a student? And that's the main thing we're looking for.
Finally, the question we ask all of our interviewees: do you lead a sustainable life?
It depends how you measure it, as I think most people would answer if they were being honest. Environmentally, most of my life is reasonably sustainable, in that we try and shop locally. We don't consume to a massive extent. We don't buy a whole lot. Our child's favourite toys are some offcuts of wood from something else I was making myself. But at the same time, environmentally, I have a commute to get to work. That commute emits a hell of a lot of carbon, isn't sustainable in the long run. If you look at my overall carbon budget, I've been sent over to Monash in Melbourne, Australia, I've been sent over to the University of Victoria on the far side of Canada just in the last year. Those two flights alone are probably my carbon budget for the year gone. So environmentally, I try to in my personal and everyday life, but business takes me away from that, which is interesting in this role. Socially, again, we try to involve ourselves in the local community. And I think that's one of the key aspects of sustainability, and also one of the key challenges at the moment. One of the things that myself and my wife Charlotte find quite difficult is the dislocation from our families. So her family are from Loughborough area in the Midlands, mine are from Chester up in the northwest. we live somewhere not quite in the middle but near enough, and it means we're quite a long way away from home. Socially, that's a difficult thing to do. Economically, Charlotte is looking after our child at the moment at home, planning on doing that for a long time. That's perfectly sustainable for us because of the way that we live. We don't consume excessively, but it depends how you measure it. You know, there is no way to say yes or no to that question.
Thank you for listening to GSD Radio, and a big thanks to this episode's host, Jacob Barker. If you have yet to do so, please follow us on Twitter or at GSD, and like us on Facebook or at Global Sustainable Development. This podcast was recorded and edited by Andamilinita. Music by Bensound.